once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 169. This week we are going to be talking about news. We are just going to rip stuff straight from the headlines, and this week it's just Dan and I.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, this has been a show that we've been try to put these together quarterly or something like that, just kind of catch up. I don't introduce new shows too much because they date you really quickly. But just kind of, you know, it is great to talk about news. It's a ton of stuff. And I want to be specific entertainment news. I don't want to talk about egg world events because that's just really weird. Not weird, but, you know, it gets you into a lot of trouble.
Gets you a little dry, too.
Yeah. So I guess the big news and the one that we're going to kick it off with was the announcement of the Star Wars cast this past week with a photo. I thought it was really weird to announce it that way.
Yeah. I heard about the cast announcement before the photo came out, so I thought that they were going to have like a little bit something more than just like the people's names and a picture, but...
Oh,
I mean, not like I was expecting, oh, a new trailer and all this stuff, but I was kind of just expecting it a little bit more of a way to do it than just say, oh, yeah, the cast is, like, here.
Yeah. I mean, it was a weird way to do it, but the thing that really kind of got me, I guess, personally, was that it was so weird that they didn't save it for Sunday.
Yeah.
Which, so, if you don't know the joke, is May the 4th, or, you know, May the 4th be with you.
Exactly. And that's... initially where this kind of like we got the idea, or at least we remembered that this even happened from really.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, I mean, like, the pictures or whatever, but the fact that it just kind of threw it out in the middle of the week on a Wednesday, like, oh, here's your first look at the cast of the new Star Wars film.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, okay. It came out of nowhere, no real build up. Just like, here you go.
Yeah, exactly that, I think, which is why I kind of, like, I woke up basically during the day, and it happened, and I was like, oh, that's a thing, and
yeah.
I moved on with my day.
And much like the original film, a lot of the actors and actresses in this film are kind of unknown quantities. Like, there are some, I mean, okay, not counting the legacy characters.
Yeah.
We have Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and a bunch of characters returning for their iconic roles. Han, Luke, Leia, Chewbacca, C-3PO, R2-D2, stuff like that. And, you know, some of the Andy Serkis, who most people probably don't know.
Yeah, he's kind of a weird anomaly. People, like, know that he's... probably don't even know that he exists, but will know tons of stuff that he's done.
Yes, like, I don't think you can't know what he's done. Between the Ring and... Planet of the Apes, and so many films, but he's never playing himself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not even that he's not playing himself. He usually plays a creature or a stand-in for a creature.
Yep. It's kind of like, what's his name? Okay, I just forgot his name right now. Obviously, that shows how much I know about him, but I always know him as the guy who plays, like, Appa and Momo from the Avatar series, D. Bradley Baker. He plays so many different creature noises. That's all he does, though, is just creature noises, so people don't actually know who he is.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm curious to see if he's actually playing somebody in this film, or if he's just going to be it is a space opera, so he can be standing in for an alien race or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. Adam Driver, I think, might be the second most famous person on here.
I'm looking through the list now, and I don't know. To be honest, I don't know who he is.
I'm going to stand corrected. I'm sure somebody's going to call me on this. I guess it would be Max von Sydow.
Yeah, I was going to say he'd probably be the most prolific.
Yeah, he'll be there. But Adam Driver is kind of an up and comer, and he stars on HBO's Girls, which is a really, I guess, critically acclaimed comedy right now.
Yeah, it's gotten some talk.
Yeah, I usually see it because I watch either Game of Thrones or... I forget what else it used to come around. But I would leave the TV on and I would just see, like, random segments of it.
Yeah.
His name actually came to mind to me the first time when there was a rumor about that earlier this year that he was going to play Nightwing in the Superman-Batman movie.
Hmm. That would be an interesting... I'm just, like, going by pictures of him. I don't recognize him from anything, but be an interesting cast.
He's a goofy-looking kid, yes.
Yeah.
We also have... Who else do we have? Oscar Isaac. Never really heard of him.
Yeah, I've seen movies that he's in, but I've, again, like, yeah, never heard
yeah,
of him.
Yeah, these people have been in stuff. I mean, the one that I'm first is John Boyega,
mm-hmm.
Who's been in Attack the Block, which is one of my favorite movies in recent memory.
I don't even know, like, I first saw his picture and was like, kind of looks familiar, but then I've never seen any of his stuff, actually.
Then is it all because all of that guys look the same to you?
Obviously. I actually saw him and I was like, wait, Earl? Is that you?
But yes, I would recommend checking out Attack the Block. It's an amazing. And we got a really, I don't want to call it a remake because I don't actually think it's based off of it, but we did get a really piss poor version of that in the States with, I think it's Neighborhood Watch? With Farrell.
The Watch?
With Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. Yeah. I just watched that a few weeks ago, actually.
Yeah, kind of the same idea, people coming together to defend their neighborhood from alien invasion, but done so much better.
I can imagine. The Watch, the American version, I guess, was not especially noteworthy. It was just kind of forgettable.
Yeah, pretty much. W, so after I saw Attack the Block first, and then I saw this, and yeah. So there's that. I guess in related Star Wars news, to kind of move on, it also came out, I think, a couple of weeks ago that they have officially pretty much disbanded the expanded universe to start anew.
That's kind of like a weird thing, honestly. Like, I guess how do you take it in general? But, like, most people are pretty... I think the general consensus is that, like, everybody accepts the extended universe except, like, George Lucas. Isn't that how it's kind of... established?
Which I find weird. Again, I mean, you're hearing this secondhand, but usually when you hear about, like, video games development or, like, comic books or any type of Star Wars Expanded Universe stuff, it seems like he has such a big hand in it, mm-hmm. and that he wants to tell this story, he thinks this character should do this and that, and then for him to go, like, okay, you know what, I didn't really count any of that stuff is really weird when he's been such a taskmaster at getting people to do certain stuff for their projects, even kind of having them restart projects because it didn't fit his vision.
Yeah. He's a big meddler, from what I understand, from what it sounds like, at least. He just kind of, like, has to have his hand in everything. A little bit of a perfectionist, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I've
to a point.
I was about to say, I've seen the prequel trilogies. I mean...
right. But I mean,
perfectionist is subjective.
Yeah. I guess perfectionist is probably not the best word. More like meddler. He just kind of feels like he has to have a say in everything from what
I say. It sounds like a micromanager, like somebody who needs to, like, have everything approved and run through them to make sure it's what they want.
Yeah.
Even if it's at the detriment of the finished product. And yeah, that does seem to be the case with him. I mean, it's, you know, the story goes that a lot of the times the reason his films were so good back in the days was he had somebody to tell him to shut up, this is stupid. It's kind of the same way with Jerry Bruckheimer, where, like, once he disbarred his partnership with that other dude, whose name escapes, was it? It's not, who was Jerry Bruckheimer used to work with?
I'm going to go look that up now, because I can't remember either.
Or is it Jerry Bruckheimer used to work with Michael Bay, and... once he stopped telling Michael Bay to kind of tone it down, that's when Michael Bay films went over the edge.
Yes, I think that's it. That sounds about right. So,
yeah. So, there's that. I guess, speaking of Michael Bay, and trust me, this is a really rough transition, even though it works.
Oh, yeah.
They announced that the Transformers films are going to be a new trilogy.
And that's a thing also. I mean, people have their own opinions on... like, people's opinions on Star Wars are strong too, granted, but Transformers' opinions are also pretty heated.
Yeah, in the sense that most people hate them, but they'll go see them anyhow.
Yeah.
You're sure you included.
Yeah, basically. I saw the original trilogy. I actually saw the trailer for the Mark Wahlberg one, whatever that one's called. I have no special interest in it, especially since the... Oh, wait. Is the first one a trilogy or a quadrilogy?
No, this is the first part of a new trilogy.
Right. But it was Transformers.
It's a trilogy. Yeah, the first one's a trilogy.
Yeah, Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, Dark of the Moon. That was it?
Yeah.
So Dark of the Moon was just really disappointing to me, honestly. So I probably will forego this one, at least in theaters.
You see, and I hate myself for this, but I feel like those are the type of movies I want to see in theater because they're so big and bombastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, like it's, I was having a discussion with my friend yesterday when we went to see Amazing Spider-Man 2. It's like, I don't see a ton of comedies in theaters because they being in theaters doesn't add anything to them.
Yeah.
Where, like, Transformers, I mean, you know, I guess more, like, when people talk about it, Gravity, they always say you had to see it in theaters, you had to see it in IMAX.
Mm-hmm.
Something special, and that's the same thing I feel with Transformers, in that Transformers loses a lot when you watch it at home, partially because it's a bad movie.
I mean, unless you're watching it under a situation where you're like, all right, this is a bad movie, let's go watch it and, like, watch it for the sake of a bad movie, like a bad movie club or something like that.
Like what I do, but...
yeah, but I don't even know if Transformers, to me at least, doesn't really fit in that category, because it's not like... Like, the visuals are very good, so visually it looks like it's good, but when you actually get down to it, it's not.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that, I mean, there is also something to be said of seeing a spectacle with a audience.
Yep.
And, you know, it's the reason why people stare at car crashes and stand around during fires is because it is, like, it may be a disaster, but it's something special.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I mean, that is, I'm literally calling Transformers movies a car crash on fire. But there is something to be said about seeing them.
Oh, there definitely is. I saw Revenge of the Fallen and I think Dark of the Moon both on midnight showings. Revenge of the Fallen at least came out when I was in high school. I want to say I was in sophomore year. And I don't remember when Dark of the Moon came out. But I enjoyed it because of the kind of camaraderie. I drove with a bunch of my friends up to see it that night. And, like, it being a Thursday night, we had school the next day, so we were kind of like, I don't know, it was something. We made an event out of it. It felt cool. But it was more, I guess, the event than actually the movie. We kind of got away from the movie, and we're like, yeah, no, it was pretty cool. I liked this scene. That was a funny line, et cetera.
Yeah. Again, speaking of movies, it came out, again, like I said, this is a wide window for us. We haven't talked about this stuff since December. Mm-hmm. So this is old news for a lot of people, and it's been talked to death. We also found out that, DC, Warner Brothers, is doing they're doing Superman and Batman, which you know about, but that's also going to lead into a Justice League film, and then there's a bunch of other films tied together with that. But the other thing, or the big thing that people are taking away from this, is right now, as it stands, Captain America 3 and Superman Batman are both scheduled to release the same time, the same day.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's going to be a little bit loose, I'm sure, but yeah.
Well, I assume one of them is going to move, or maybe both of them move, but mm-hmm. I don't think it's in either one of their benefits to kind of... It's not in any one of their benefits to kind of shortchange the other one just to get... Like, and I know a lot of people are excited for it. A lot of people get to talk smack about, you know, which is going to do better and this is going to be the better movie.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, hopefully these businesses aren't run like a fans wars. This is run by an actual business.
Oh, definitely.
At the end of the day, if you do that, you're just going to cut off your box office. So you don't cut off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah. And I feel like DC and Marvel, as much as the fans don't like to admit it or the fans think that they're kind of in this situation, the companies themselves are actually – there's, like, no animosity between them from what I understand. Like, they just kind of accept each other. The fans don't, but
And that's the funny thing. And this goes for any entertainment. For the most part, companies mm-hmm. don't dislike each other because, as they say, if they do well, we do well.
Right. Competition builds business.
Yeah, not only that, but like, if DC does well, it means people are going to the comic shop and they can pick up Marvel books. If Marvel does well, that means people are going to the comic shop and they can pick up Marvel books.
Yep.
It's the same thing with video games. You have eyes on your medium. But individuals might have grudges, and that's a different beast. But
yeah.
An individual isn't a company.
Definitely not. Unless you get into certain situations where, like, the CEO says something. But, I mean, that's very rarely representative of the company themselves. But, you know, it's not unheard of.
Yeah. So yeah, and the DC stuff, you know, like, I don't want to talk about that because, again, it's not really an announcement. They haven't really said anything beyond that stuff, and even that's kind of iffy.
Yeah.
I guess moving over from movies real quick, Amazon announced their Fire TV, which is part set-top box and part game console. And this was talked, I mean, again, this is about a month old, but when it was, you know, it was talked about, it's been rumored for about a year now. And the way everybody was talking about it, it sounded like a competition for the console space. But it really does kind of, it is more in line with the Ouyao and the Nvidia Shield and all those other, oh, you can play Android games on your TV.
Honestly, it kind of strikes me as a little bit of Apple TV-esque. Like, they're not quite breaking into direct console market, but they're sort of saying, like, hey, if you buy our product, we make it a lot easier for you to be able to play games or to do this or that.
Yeah, yeah. The problem with that is it's a crowded market either way. Like, it's a competitively priced console, except it doesn't really have console-quality games, and it's a decent price set-top box, except you are going into stiff competition. Google has the Chromecast for $35. Apple has Apple TV. There's the Roku. Yeah, so there's a ton of options for that. And even though I have Amazon, I don't even know if like their ecosystem would get me to purchase this because, yeah, sure, you get Amazon Prime Video, but you get Amazon Prime Video anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the dragon's too far out of the box for them to kind of say, like, this is only on Amazon Fire TV.
Yeah, I mean, what comes to mind to me, at least, is there was a company who was recently bought by Amazon, and I can't for the life of me think of it, a gaming company.
Double Helix.
Yeah, Double Helix. So what comes to mind to me, I guess, is they might use that to sort of start breaking into it and kind of directly make their own product defined for their own parameters, you know, just like all of the consoles do. Like, Nintendo games are pretty much the best on Nintendo consoles because, you know, that's what they're for, essentially, that sort of thing. So they might kind of try and... set the floor, I guess, of the device itself with their own product. I don't know, though.
Yeah. I mean, they have some exclusive content, but again, it's going to be like, who does it entice? Like, it's not enticing console gamers, and I feel like mobile gamers aren't looking for a... I guess, to me, I just never got who wants to play these type of games on their TV.
Yeah. It does seem like an interesting market. They're basically trying to transform the mobile market into a console market, from what it seems like, at least. Like, Nvidia Shield is kind of like taking that mobile game and giving you the experience, I guess on mobile, but sort of like the TV experience also. And Ouya, too, they're trying to take like smaller games, give it a TV experience. It just seems a little strange to me, honestly.
Like, I get the push, and I mean, I hate to bring this up. I know, but it's kind of the same way that certain people react. And I guess this will kind of cover gaming. It's the way certain people react to, like, when Sony, for instance, announced like half a dozen indie games this weekend.
Yep.
And a lot of people were just kind of upset by that because it's like I didn't pay $400 to, you know, pay a game that looks like something I play on my phone.
Yep.
And there is some logic in it, even if it is kind of close-minded.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. There's a lot of different sort of things going on in the game industry, I think, that are kind of just doing weird things to it, honestly. And a lot of stuff is, like, either intentional or not, but as a member of the industry, it just it's a little weird. We're in a big transition in a lot of ways.
Yeah, the problem is nobody knows what they're transitioning to right now.
Yeah.
I think that's the big takeaway. Because like, even the mobile game, like, you know, it came out as well. And this is more really quirky because this is more like, I guess, the other shows type of deal. But like, I think Zynga's down like half of their active users. Ravio hasn't been able to really sustain growth.
They're growing,
but it's really been stagnant. It's like, I think it's been like 2 or 3% growth over last year, which isn't a huge growth. It's getting harder and harder for people to charge on the mobile platforms because everybody's accustomed to free-to-play model now. So you got that, and then you have the other side where software sales are down on the consoles as well, and it's like we're getting us games. hardware sales are up, but software sales are down. So people are buying systems, but they aren't buying games.
Yeah, it's a weird sort of conundrum. Like, what are you buying your consoles for? Or what are you doing with your consoles once they're bought, I guess, for that period? It's a little weird.
Yeah, yeah. One thing that probably won't see, well, it has seen some shrinkage, but probably won't see too much this year, is Call of Duty Advanced Warfighter. Okay, that's the right one, right?
I think so, something like that. It's like Advanced Warfare, I think, something.
Okay. Because I keep on getting it, because there is a Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, I think. So I'm getting those two confused. It's a really, I don't know why. Because Modern Warfare isn't too special either, but not a lot of games use Modern, but you throw in Advanced, and it feels so generic to me. I think part of it is because like this Ghost Recon Advanced Warfare, there's also Advanced Wars, which is a completely different type of game.
But totally different sort of like genre, style, everything. It's funny. Like what first came to mind when I heard of it, and I heard of it through the grapevine, so I still haven't even actually seen the trailer for it. But Gameloft has a game for mobile devices called like Modern Combat, and that's their like Call of Duty for iOS, basically. That's what came to mind to me. It just sounded that cheesy, like it was a direct knockoff of itself almost.
Yeah, but it's not. And I've always said Call of Duty is in such an interesting position because a lot of people who don't play it will admit to not playing it because they feel stagnant. But when you sell to 20, 30 million people a year, like, are you going to take that vocal voice and change it up and risk alienating all these people who already do enjoy your product? Or do you, try, like, this one seems to be, like, it's still Call of Duty, but we're going with more futuristic technology. Like, there's hover bikes, and there's, I think you can scale walls and stuff like that. It's like, it's changes, but it's not radical changes.
Yep. And it kind of, to me at least, speaks back to I forget who the specific person was that made a comment, but somebody within Infinity Ward or Treyarch made a comment about how the Call of Duty series is essentially stagnated right now because the player base disallows it to move on to anything else, which is very true. They have to become what they are, and they have to stay what they are because the fan base expects that, and if they move on, then they lose that fan base, and they lose a huge market ability and whatnot. But they also, they lose a little bit of credibility almost because of the player base that's playing their games.
Yeah, it's a tough nut to crack. Like I said, I don't envy them. I found it funny. We'll get to Kevin Spacey really quick. But I found it funny, if you go to Amazon where the game's listed, one of the selling points, one of the first things they mention in the description is that this has a 3-year development cycle, which is the first for the franchise, and I'm just like, that's not a selling point.
Yeah, it is a little bit weird. Like, at this point, people are well aware that Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed are both on multi-year cycles, even though they come out every year. But so it's not a new concept, but yeah, like you said, it's not a selling point of the game. You don't say, oh yeah, look at this game, this 3-year developed game.
Like, yeah.
You look at the mechanics or what's in the game, gameplay, story things, other things like that as your selling points.
Yeah. Like, this is speaking to a very specific audience. It's like, the people who complain about it. Because your average consumer is not going to know, oh, this has been in the, nobody cares. Like, they see Call of Duty. They don't care if it's been in development for a year or 2 years. They probably don't care if it's Treyarch or Infinity Ward or Sledgehammer Games.
Yep. They probably don't even know, if they know those three companies, they don't know very many outside of them, it's one of those things.
Yeah. So I just found it really funny that was one of the first signs in the Amazon description. So, but yeah, I mean, we also got a bunch of other game announcements, but like I said, most of that's covered on the other show. So yes, TV-wise, there's a lot of, it seems the big thing nowadays is to kind of take a popular movie franchise and turn it into a TV show or an origin. We've had Bates Motel, we've had Hannibal, we have Sleepy Hollow, and they announced recently that they're going to do a Friday the 13th show.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. It's funny, I'm like up on TV watching, but not on TV news, so I hear about it like as soon as it happens, not when it's announced. But,
well, TV, I find TV news interesting in that, yeah, I also don't follow it because TV news, I mean, I guess this happens with a lot of stuff, but, because TV, like right now, for instance, is what they call pilot season.
Yep.
So you hear about a lot of shows that don't necessarily mean they're going to air, but they are in production and they do film a first episode. Like, nobody films a movie and then cans it.
Right. I mean, you get portions of a movie at best. Same like with games. You get maybe a prototype at best.
Yeah.
You don't get you very rarely get a full game or, I guess, a full movie. I guess it's happened in a case or two, but.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, like you hear stories of like a movie that was put on the shelves and they wanted to wait until they found the right time, but
yep.
You don't get, like, you know, you get a fully produced TV show. And some of these we will see, some of them we will never see. But you hear so many of them. Like, there are literally dozens of shows in production at any, you know, at this time of the year.
Yep.
And you hear about all of them. So it's really hard to kind of parse down what's important until the fall when they start airing or they get picked up.
Yeah, it's very true. And then even then, what annoys me about TV shows personally, and this is a little bit tangential from news, but, like, it annoys me when TV series do get greenlit and they start airing, and maybe they air for just a season, maybe they air for a few, but the fact that they can cancel them when a resolution is not established, I don't know. I feel like to the content creators, give them like a season to wrap it up and say, hey, you're going to cancel, wrap it up this season, which doesn't often happen.
I don't necessarily, I understand why you wouldn't give them a season, but to me, I've always thought it would be nice to at least have them, okay, here's what we'll do. Especially being that nothing airs during the summer. Give them like a 2-hour movie to wrap up the storylines as best as they can.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, you know what, your show's not coming back, but we're going to give you we're going to give you 2 hours to kind of give a recap, maybe wrap up the story as best as you can and say goodbye to your friends. Because there are a ton of shows, and this is a really tough line to walk, because shows don't know, sometimes you don't know if you're being picked up or canceled until the very end.
Yep.
Like Almost Human just got canceled, and I assume the show's, you know, like that show has put its final episode in the can long ago. And you can't, like, some shows try to book for every season to be the end, but that also gets tiresome, because then it means you have to reset the clock every season.
Yep. It's like a Community right now is, well, I guess right now, but the whole length of Community has been a little bit, you know, like troubled waters. Not sure if it's going to move on, not sure if it's going to fail. And I watch Community pretty religiously, so it affects me, I guess. But, yeah, it happens to a bunch of shows, and it directly impacts the quality of the show, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And it also kind of sucks for fans who get invested in something and to see, like, continuing on a tangent, I just finished Alphas on Netflix, and that ends on a major cliffhanger. Like, I mean, a huge cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, it's not even like I'm going to get a chance to see how this ends or anything like that. So, it is what it is. What can you do?
Yep, true.
We'll come back to TV at a later time. We usually do a cable TV show episode around this time, usually when Game of Thrones is on, Mad Men. It used to be around when Game of Thrones and Mad Men was airing, and right before Breaking Bad would come back, but Breaking Bad's not here anymore, so.
RIP Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I guess maybe around Doctor Who, we'll see.
Yeah.
I guess other general news is mostly just kind of video about movie trailers, I guess. We've had Godzilla, which I think has been really impressive.
I haven't seen the newest trailer, but I've seen the, like, teaser ones, and it's looking like a thing.
It's looking like a thing. You're not excited for it?
Bryan Cranston's in it, and I love Breaking Bad, and I love Bryan Cranston. I'll probably see it in some capacity because of that. They're selling it as that. Like, that's like how they're marketing it, from what I understand, is,
well,
like, Bryan Cranston's Godzilla, almost.
Yeah, from what I've seen and what I've heard of early reviews and impressions, it does seem like the monster takes a back seat.
Yeah,
and I'm actually all for that, because I think a monster, this is a bit of its motif if it's always around. This is done in CG, so that works, but, like, especially in older movies where it's like a guy in a rubber suit.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Transformers, like going back to Transformers, I guess, again, like a lot of people, fans especially, had a big problem because the Transformers weren't the main characters. It was like Sam Witwicky, and who cares about Sam Witwicky?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a balance, but, like, you know, like, unlike Sam Witwicky, like, Godzilla doesn't speak,
right?
Well, for the most part.
There's no characterization to him, whereas the Autobots and Decepticons have a very rich backstory.
Yes, and much more personality than...
Oh, yeah.
Sam Witwicky. So yes, that looks good. We have Guardians of the Galaxy, which had their first teaser.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there wasn't a new one attached with Cap, because there's no other, like, I can maybe if it's attached with X-Men?
I can see that, I guess. It's a little surprising they didn't attach it to, like, what's it called? Spider-Man, I guess, honestly.
Yeah, it wasn't even attached to Spider-Man when I saw it last night.
What were the trailers attached to Spider-Man, just out of curiosity? I haven't seen it, so.
X-Men, Days of Future Past, Ninja Turtles.
Oh, cool.
Earth to Echo.
I don't know what that even is.
Yeah, it's coming out soon. It was the first time I seen it as well. It kind of looked like, it's like a ripoff of Super 8 meets E.T., It's a bunch of kids who discover an alien, and the alien's like this little friendly creature.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's like a found film footage, found film movie. Yeah, so maybe it's more than that, but that's what I saw. And I'm sure there's others. I mean, I understand why, especially with a big movie, but I hate when you get like, I think any more than 3 or 4 trailers, I just kind of forget them all.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a Annie.
Really?
With Jamie Foxx.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know that was being made. It was the first I've seen it as well. But yeah, it's an African-American version of Annie, which is probably the most whitest thing I've ever said on this show. Yeah, you see, it's an African-American version of American classic Annie.
That's very interesting. I have to see this now. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh, it really is. This is a thing.
Yes.
It's like almost as true to that incarnation as the Wiz is to the Wizard of Oz. And that's a thing.
That's a thing. There was a... I will say I actually generally did laugh at it. It does have its funny moments.
Mm-hmm.
A movie that I'm really interested in is Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow. I've seen promotions for it, but I don't actually know anything of it. So I've heard of it. Oh, you know what I've heard of it is because I got a bunch of posters from going to visit the WB studios in Montreal, and I saw like a ton of Edge of Tomorrow stuff there.
I'm standing at the edge of tomorrow. Okay, I don't know if you know that, but that's the, that is the Saved by the Bell and Cottages.
Yes, I do get the reference.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if you watched the show.
I've seen a little bit.
Because even people who watch the show didn't watch that show. Yeah. So is there anything that you want to talk about?
I think we really hit every sort of piece of substantial news that I can think of. I'm a little bit detached from news, honestly, because finals week just kind of hit me hard with school. Also, just being at school gets me completely out of the loop with a lot of things, to be honest. Like, I feel so out of the loop while I'm in school because I'm just working so hard and so focused. But that was all that was in my radar, I think.
Yeah, like I said, it's not, like, I know there's other news, but again, it's a difference between what I consider, you know, major and important news and, oh, that's kind of nifty or that's news. Like, I don't think it was today, it was sometime this week, like, Sci-Fi announced that they're doing a Sharknado 3, and in the back of my head, I'm just thinking, like, they don't really understand why Sharknado is successful, do they?
Yeah.
It's like when it's, I've heard the same thing about Birdemic 2, which I've never seen because I've seen Birdemic 1 and that's more than enough for me. But it's like it gets this reputation for it being terrible, but it's right. There's no way to replicate being terrible. Like, you can be terrible.
Yep.
But it's like people enjoy these films for actually trying to be good films that end up bad, and not trying to be a bad film that knows it's bad.
Yeah, it's a weird line because you talk to a lot of fans of Sharknado, and I remember I'm a big Redditor, and so I see the AMAs of like Sharknado either actresses or actors or the creators of it, and like it's this weird dynamic of the fans who are like, oh my god, Sharknado changed my life, it's the best movie ever, and the filmmakers and creators are like, this feels so great to hear and stuff, and then you look at actual Sharknado and you're like, to the unassuming eye, they're probably wondering what is even happening. Like, are these people serious? But it's a weird dynamic.
Yeah, it's an extremely weird dynamic, and I don't like. I really think they should have left it as a one-off joke.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason that sci-fi usually doesn't do sequels, but this one they're doing a trilogy for. So.
Yeah.
This that. So yes, that's that for this week. Hopefully we'll be back next week with a more fuller cast. I know we did a one-on-one actually with Sam and this week with Dan. But like he said, it was finals week for him. Sam's in the middle of looking for work and move in. Sean is just, he has a really hectic work schedule. And Justin just has really terrible work hours.
And I mean, it's Justin, let's be honest. He's not here, so we can just say that.
But yes, check out the website. We've been doing our amazing Spider-Cast. This week we did the fantastic Spider-Man 3, which I'm sure everybody loves.
Woo!
Woo! Kaiji commentary. This week is Godzilla versus Bias, I think. Bias? I don't know. A ton of comic book reviews. We have Dexter's Laboratory. We have Egos, we have Southern Bastards, we have Flash, we have Spider-Man, we have all the greats up there as well. You know, articles up on DC's movie role and what they're doing with their franchises. So yeah, check it out. You can find us on Twitter at Nerds on the Rocks. You can find us on Facebook by searching Nerds on the Rocks. You can even desperately add us on Google Plus and... I don't know. Maybe we'll update it sometime.
Maybe we'll give Google Plus a little love at some point.
We'll give them a bump they need. I mean, at this point, even two people would be a bump for Google Plus. So, yes. And we'll be back next week. So, for Dan and I, this has been Nerds on the Rocks episode 169.